Good morning, everyone. This is a hearing in the Senate Committee on Natural Resources and Water for the purpose of hearing one bill, Senate Bill 380. Let's call the roll to establish a quorum.
Senators Pavley?
Here.
Stone?
Here.
Allen?
Here.
Hertzberg?
Here.
Hueso?
Here.
Jackson?
Here.
Monning?
Here.
Vidak?
Here.
And Wolk?
Here.
All right. The purpose is hearing one bill. It's relating to natural gas storage. It's an urgency item because of the nature of the gas leak in Porter Ranch. And it's very important as the weeks wind down and the leak will eventually be stopped that we have in place some safeguards so these 3,000 families will consider moving back into their homes. They want to know that those other, more older wells similar to this have been inspected and safe. And if they can't be termed to be safe by the PUC and others, then those wells, in addition to the one that's leaking, will be killed and stopped. And so we this series of bills, and there's several of them, this is just the urgency one, are moving forward with a variety of authors. I'd like to thank a bunch of us that are working together on this, Senator Huff, Senators De Leon, Senator Allen, Senator Runner, and Assemblymember Wilk. So it's a bipartisan measure, and I was going to have my joint author, Senator Bob Huff, present today.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The constituents of the 27th District, Senator Pavley's district, have been receiving end of a public disaster for the last 3 months. The uncontrolled leak of natural gas from the Aliso Canyon facility creates an emergency by anyone's definition. Over 2,500 Porter Ranch households have relocated. Another 1,600 are in the process of being relocated. The Los Angeles Unified School District has closed down two schools, relocated staff and students to avoid the noxious fumes. There are concerns about public health, the health of our children, long-term damage to a robust and happy community, lost business revenues, property value loss, and more. None of these issues are necessarily appropriately addressed by the legislature. Local agencies have already taken the first steps to address some of the issues that may not be within the legislature's purview. For example, LA City Attorney, the LA City Council, LA Board of Supervisors, local regulators, including City and County Fire, the Department of Public Health, and the South Coast Air Quality Management District have all taken action within their respective jurisdictions. Additionally, state regulators coordinated by the Governor's Office have and are taking appropriate action to respond to the leak. However, we have an important role in ensuring that this doesn't happen again to the best of our ability to prevent that. We're taking appropriate steps to calm and address the community's concerns about the risks associated with the continued operation of Aliso Canyon. SB 380 builds on the important actions by state regulators and the administration and institutes a public, rigorous, and transparent process to ensure the integrity of the gas storage wells. We have an obligation to the public and the residents. They need a formal voice in this process to ensure its credibility. With the first relief well likely to be completed within weeks, and a hope for a successful effort to stop the leak using the relief well, it's urgent that we pass this legislation in order to address the community's fears about moving back to their homes and near the natural gas storage facility. SB 380 will require an immediate moratorium on natural gas injection into the Aliso Canyon Reservoir. It will restrict production of gas through vintage wells at Aliso Canyon unless needed for leak response or to ensure regional energy reliability. The moratorium and restrictions will stay in effect until all the following conditions are met. Dogger assesses the integrity of the gas storage wells quantitatively and objectively using state-of-the-art technology. The methods used will be determined with input from experts in the community in a public process. Dogger evaluates the risks to the community associated with well failure. Wells at extra risk of well failure are fixed or plugged. Dogger determines that the overall risk to the community from the facility is low, and the California Public Utilities Commission, CPUC, and the California Energy Commission agree. Additionally, the CPUC will evaluate whether the Aliso Canyon storage facility can be shut down or its use minimized without affecting regional energy reliability. SB 380 builds upon Dogger's orders to Southern California Gas and its recent proposed emergency regulations, the Governor's January 6, 2016 State of Emergency Declaration, and the actions of other regulators. SB 380 includes gas production, enhanced transparency, and explicit requirements for public involvement to help shape the response. SB 380 is an urgency measure and will go into effect after passing the legislature when signed by the Governor.
The Thank you very much, Senator Huff, for opening on that important measure. I note beside you is Assemblymember Wilk. Would you like to offer a few comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
He's also a co-author.
Well, that's why I'm here. Thank you so much. I'm here before you in support of SB 380. Senator Huff just outlined what the bill does, so I don't want to focus on that. I want to first thank the chair for her leadership on this issue. And if it was going to happen in anybody's, I mean, it's horrible that it happened. If it was going to happen in anybody's district, you're the proper person to lead this effort. What I will share with you is
to redistricting. Never mind.
This is devastating our community. Pets are dying, children are bleeding out their noses, and it's, you know, 30,000 people and growing. And this is a serious. It's more than a gas leak. People are having serious health effects, and it's in a broad area. I'm sure it's in your downwind, Senator Hertzberg. So I know it's in your district.
100%.
And I'll tell you what my constituents think. Best case scenario, they think that SoCalGas and state government regulators are incompetent. That's the best case. The worst case, they think that the state regulators and SoCalGas are in bed together and not protecting the interest of our constituents. So again, I salute you, Senator Pavley. This is a great first step in addressing this issue and help restore the state's credibility with the people. And again, thank you.
It's all about them knowing that we're doing everything we can to make sure when they return home that it's safe. Thank you very much for your help and participation in this. Any other people wishing to testify in support of the measure? Opposition. Is this support or opposite? Oh, thank you.
Jenna Price, California League of Conservation Voters in support. Thank you.
Thanks.
Eddie Moreno on behalf of Sierra Club California in support.
Mark Fenstermaker for Environmental Defense Fund in support.
Danielle Lynch on behalf of Audubon California in support.
Anyone else in support?
We're in a white hat today.
opposition to the measure? I wanted to assure everyone we're working with the Energy Commission and the PUC and Southern California Gas on the issue of making sure that these older wells in particular are safe. But also working with them on the subject of energy reliability. We know we have a lot of work ahead of us. They do too, and I want to thank both of you for your efforts on behalf of Porter Ranch residents. That's what it's about. Questions by members. Senator Hertzberg, followed by Senator Jackson. Can we wait a minute, Bob?
Sure.
I see someone else wanted to speak, and
please,
I wanted to allow the last one.
Thank you. I'm Roger Schweik, Vice President of Customer Solutions for the Southern California Gas Company. And I wanted to thank Madam Chair and the committee for allowing me to say a few words. We currently do not have a position on the bill. And I wanted to kind of give you an update.
Okay.
Maybe on things, how they're progressing at Aliso Canyon. We're, you know, moving along very well with regard to the relief well. The relief well one, we're actually doing activity on relief well two. And we do expect that we will intercept and kill the well sometime mid to late February, if not sooner. We've made very good progress. Obviously, you have issues that could arise as you're moving forward. So that's a very good progress. We also have started some work on our storage integrity management program, mm-hmm. which addresses what we've identified as 18 wells that have similar characteristics with regard to the leaking well. And basically have started actually the process of temporarily plugging those wells until we can get to that inspection process.
Right.
So we're moving forward with that. We also, consistent with all the orders, we have not been injecting gas in Aliso Canyon since the late part of October. And we do not plan to inject any gas in Aliso Canyon until it's safe to do so. First with fixing the leak. Second, ensuring that the wells that we have meet the safety requirements that everyone wants to see. So that's how we're progressing along. We're still reviewing legislation, and we're still reviewing the impact. But we want to make sure that everyone understands what we believe is the importance of Aliso Canyon. So to give you some context, Aliso Canyon, is critical to our operation. First thing, it sits right there in the Santa Susana Mountains, makes it very close to the load center, so it can respond quickly to changes in load. Those loads can be residential customers, commercial customers, or electric generation customers. And Aliso Canyon allows us in our system to respond where you have gas that doesn't travel as fast as, let's say, electricity. So we believe it's critical in that sense. So as we move forward with this bill, we will need to balance the direction in the bill for limiting injections at Aliso Canyon, along with that system reliability issues for the gas and electric side. And we look forward to working with the authors on how to develop that and the regulators on how to develop that. We're currently working with the CAISO, CEC, and LADWP, for example, mm-hmm. on the reliability issues and how a summer without Aliso Canyon may look and what can be done. I think the results of that, which is a fairly short time frame for that task force, will be beneficial for this committee and the authors as we move forward and outline what the limits are and how we move forward to get to a point where we feel comfortable. So, you know, we support the intent of the bill, and that is to make sure that before we put Aliso Canyon back into operation, that everyone is comfortable with the safety that is there for the wells, whether the old wells or the new wells, that the comfort is there that we will have a safe and reliable system that everyone can feel comfortable for us to continue the operation. So again, I want to say thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak for a few minutes, and I'm here to answer any questions you might have with regard to what's going on at Aliso Canyon that I can answer, or any concerns we might have.
All right, thank you. And Senator Hertzberg, now would be the time to ask a question if you, or make a statement.
One, I just wanted to, Senator Wilk, thank you so very much, because you're exactly correct, and certainly the communities that I represent are within a stone's throw of this horrible circumstance, so I appreciate that, and I appreciate the willingness to amend, add me as a co-author for this measure, Madam Chair, in that regard. But I have just three questions. Number one is, if you go to page 3 of the measure, and I don't know who actually can answer this, but if you look at paragraph 4A in line 27, it says the supersizer shall prohibit the production of natural gas by any well originally drilled earlier than 1954. The first question is, I was under the impression that this was a storage facility rather than a production facility whereby gas was transported from other jurisdictions, stored here, and served the region as opposed to production. Is there production going on there? Yeah, just hit that button.
Okay, all right. So it's the terminology that some people use with regard to production. We would call it withdrawals.
Withdrawals, because you inject and then you
withdraw.
Right, as opposed to, I was trying
to
determine.
Put it in the summer, take it out when needed during
precisely.
The winter.
Precisely.
There is some oil and gas production wells that are not in the storage zone.
Right.
They're in higher level, that
well,
are looking in areas. So.
The second question, it says, any well originally drilled earlier than 1954, are there wells that were drilled after 1954? Why is that distinction put in there? Does anybody know?
There are wells that were drilled after 1954.
So why is that line drawn there?
Someone explained to me, and I don't know if this is correct, that the structural integrity of the well casings, because of the age, it wasn't an arbitrary one. Some of the standards got upgraded later on in the amount of steel or rebar. It's a 7-inch casing with tubing down there, and the newer well casings perhaps have
so
more structural
So is the point that
integrity.
In 1954... People are old, because I was born in 1954. I just want to know
That's
what that
means. That's a long time ago, Bob.
They're not old, but they're a lot more rusty.
Then you understand this completely.
That's why I asked the question.
I guess I'd like to say, you know, age is only one criterion in determining the integrity of a well, and that's where you have to go through an inspection program.
I know, so then why is it limited to 1954, if that's the question?
We'll be checking all the wells, but those particular, the older wells, the vintage wells, are the ones that are similar age to the one that's leaked. And so part of the concern is they've outlasted their useful lifespan because of the integrity
of
the way
it's
done. Is
it that difficult? How many additional wells are there? Is it that if you're
There's
talking
115
about...
and about 18 others are the ones that are in that similar age group.
Yeah, we've identified, of the 115 wells that we have at Aliso Canyon, 18 have been identified as having the similar characteristics, not only age, but characteristics that the leaking well has.
The thing I would suggest is, because what I heard from talking to folks out there and some of the inspectors who have been brought, you guys have brought people from all over the world, that when the ground sunk and when the things that happened out there were things that people from around the world hadn't seen, my only suggestion is that maybe it's the appropriate thing given the impact here and that what's going on with folks that we should maybe take a broader view. I don't know. Yeah. I just saw that limitation. It just concerned me a little bit.
I think that's the priority ones, and then we'll be looking for out. It's all about those homeowners. They are frankly scared to death of coming back home. 3,000 of the 10,000 families are gone. More still want to be relocated. Scott Wilk got this right. All of us will be held accountable. Southern California Gas, the agencies that are the regulators, and this legislature, unless we do everything we can thoughtfully do.
Absolutely.
To make sure to reduce the risk of this happening again. It is a problem when you put 32,000 people next to a producing oil and gas field.
Yeah, and it just concerns me that we're limiting it to 1954, because what if we our assessment's wrong? But that being said, let me ask one more question. On page 4 of the measure, line 4, it says standards SESNON25. What's an SESNON?
That's the well number.
That's the name. Standard says.
That's the name of the well?
Yeah.
Okay.
They number them.
No, I saw the number of the well, but it's a standard SESNON25 well, American Petroleum Institute identification number 037-0076. I got the number. I just was wondering what a Cessnon is.
That's the name of the well.
That's the name of the well?
That's the name of the
street
there, too.
Yeah, standard Cessnon is name of the well, and I think if you look at it, probably Standard Oil originally. And then the Cessnon family.
Yes.
I see.
See,
okay.
It's the name of the street that goes right in the front of it.
Okay.
If I might, can I add another comment with regard to the other wells?
Yeah.
I think we agree that we have to make sure that we have all the wells that are safe, and whether it's integrity testing or is there some other way that we can ensure an extra level of security that people will feel comfortable about. And, Senator, you mentioned the issue between the tubing and casing, and if you can basically isolate the tubing from that casing, you create an extra layer of security, and then you can monitor that on a regular, ongoing, real-time basis.
That's one of the issues. We do better in some of the other areas of energy where you can have someone in a remote place monitoring what's going on and all this energy production. And so 21st century kinds of technologies. Senator Jackson, you had a
comment. Thank you. I had a couple questions. The first one is, by imposing this immediate moratorium, what is the impact? What will the people in that area, in the surrounding area, or in the state experience as a result of this immediate moratorium on natural gas injection?
I can just try that, and then we'll follow up with him. But one of the things they've been successful in doing when we were spewing out all this natural gas in October and through November is we stopped injecting new gas in that reservoir. So this is the largest gas reservoir west of the Mississippi, right, in the United States. Right. So by reducing the pressure, we've slowed down the leak, and today we're releasing, Southern California Gas is releasing 60% or more less emissions, methane emissions, than we were when this started. Mm-hmm. That balance of reducing the pressure in the reservoir, plus providing some reliability, not the maximum amount that maybe they want, some reliability to the 20 million people rely on natural gas for heating. It's about cold snaps right now, or cooking, or heat, so is really important. And so it is a balance, but it's safety first.
Correct.
Obviously, for those residents who live adjacent to this field.
And no doubt about that. I'm just curious, going down into that second layer, how is this going to impact those 20 million people who rely upon natural gas for heating as it gets colder and also for cooking?
Playa del Rey has, there's 13 other natural gas fields in California. The smaller one, this is the biggest one. But there's
so
one
they
that's
picking
smaller
up the slack, if
to
you will.
Some extent. But there is a cushion, if you will, left in the natural gas reservoir to hit this year's. I feel comfortable hitting this year's challenges. It's whether how much more natural gas do you put in the summer when we bring in natural gas primarily from out of state in order to have enough for the next winter. So we have some time for well inspections. I don't know if that's fair. You can, Mr. Expert and Mr. Wilk.
You're right. There is currently, based on the California Public Utilities Commission order, we basically have approximately 15 BCF of available working gas that we can use to meet the reliability of the customers. So as that gets used, that's when a moratorium on injection could come into play. In other words, you can only use it one time, and injection would be as if you can use that same space multiple times, especially as you get into the summer, and then really probably even more so into next winter.
It's next year's.
Next year.
So we have some time if we get on the job on inspecting.
So the other question I have is that the third requirement is that the integrity of each well is quantitatively and objectively evaluated using state-of-the-art technology. Is this technology available now?
Yes, what we do, and that's part of our current storage integrity management program.
So why hasn't, if this is available, why wasn't it used in this particular situation? Or was it used?
We've used that technology in a variety of wells, and what we did is we filed with the Public Utilities Commission to ask to accelerate that and to do all the wells over a period of time.
But if this technology had been available, why had or was it used prior to the leak? And if so, did it fail, or was it not used prior to the leak? In which case, I would share Assemblymember Wilk's concern that we are not, or that the PUC or the gas company was not doing its job. I'm curious, was this technology available before the leak? Was it used before the leak? And if not, why not?
So the technology that we're talking about is an inspection tool. So it's not an ongoing effort. And whether the use of that technology would have identified that this leak was occurring, I can't speculate on that point. This time.
It's probably the subject of some litigation pending, but from our purposes, I think as legislators, and I think we do have a responsibility to our communities to do the very best we can to make sure this doesn't happen. You know, we come in afterwards, and we've got thousands of people who are displaced, and not just in Porter Ranch, but all throughout the state, in wealthy areas and in poor areas. I mean, we're, the concern is that our infrastructure is aging. And a lot of this comes from responsibilities that, you know, the companies, various companies, don't necessarily want to invest. They want to see how long they can go without having a problem. And that's the responsibility of the various corporations and companies and utilities, what have you, that they need to be held accountable to that. But we need to be held accountable for the fact that whatever technologies are available, we should be insisting they be used so that we can prevent what we can. And that's why I'm asking you. I had an oil problem, oil pipeline leak in my district that was eminently preventable. I don't know if this was eminently preventable. We'll probably find that out through the courts. But the concern I have is going forward, now, you know, we've been warned, and it's been a heavy price to be warned, but we need to do what we can going forward. So the question is the technology available? And if so, why aren't we using it? And how can we assure, whether it's through legislation or whatever, that we do the best we can in every circumstance, whether it's oil, whether it's gas, whether it's our infrastructure of any kinds, bridges, what have you, it's our obligation to protect the public to the extent we can, with the support of those various companies that ultimately, I suspect, are going to be held accountable for its failure if we don't require these kinds of programs. So that's my concern. The 21st century technology, is it out there? And should we insist that it be used? I don't think we can rely. I mean, this is an indication of, I don't think we can rely on some of our state agencies to be ahead of us on this or rely upon your organization. I mean, this is the largest gas storage facility west of the Mississippi. Why were we not more diligent and vigilant, or were we? So that's, I guess maybe that's a $64,000 question, but I think this bill is a start, but I do think there's more to do. So I think it's been, if it hasn't been
it
moved,
has
I'd
been
like
moved
to move.
By Senator Hertzberg, and there is a series of other bills that aren't in the urgency category. that we'll be looking at as well.
When can you amend it?
Assembly Member Will.
So just kind of add on to your first question, Senator Jackson. As Senator Pavley mentioned, this is the largest, you know, storage facility west of the Mississippi. And in terms of reliability, there's no, I was shocked to learn this, there's no redundancy in the system. So as this is a first step, but as we move forward, we need to take a comprehensive look at everything. And again, I feel very strongly that we will be held accountable and we need to do what's in the best interest of our community. So those are all great questions.
And of course, part of that may require funding. So when we, you know, we hear complaints that we can't afford this, we can't afford in many instances not to do it because the costs associated with not doing it become so much greater than were we to take the preventative actions that are available.
You're right, Senator Jackson. This is so much broader than just Aliso Canyon. Senator Stone, and then there's a motion on the floor, and we'll call for a close.
Thank you, Madam.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to put on the record, I was the first one to request to speak.
Yes, then you certainly will. Thank you. I didn't see that.
That's okay.
I tend not to lean to my right, so. Sorry.
I'll pay attention where I sit next time.
This is a bipartisan. See, I'm straight-centered focused here.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I just want to commend Assemblyman Volk and Senator Huff and Senator Pavley for bringing this to fruition as fast as you did. I'd like to know from Southern California Gas, how are you communicating with, obviously, a lot of very traumatized people in letting them know where you are in the progress of sealing this? And are they receiving the services from you as we see this horrific interruption in their quality of life?
Thank you for the question. I'm not that involved in the communication. I'm working on the operations side in looking at, you know, fixing the leak. It's my understanding they're using, you know, outreach and communication. We have a community resource center that's set up where people can come and get the information. We have website updates. So we're trying to push out as much information, and they can come to us at our community resource center and ask and get information at that time.
And then on line 13 on page 3, it talks about specifically drills drilled before 2006. So following up on Senator Hertzberg's comments, I would assume that the newer the well, the larger the safeguards are in place to protect the public from these types of things. Is there anything different about 2006 and above that you've done?
I cannot identify the reason for the 2006. I think, but just like with any technology, the newer technology, you improve.
Right.
But again, age is not the only determining factor. It's the condition of the well and the use of the well.
But I think that as we find these new technologies retroactively, we have to go back to these other wells and safeguard the public as much as we possibly can. And this comes at a time when the public is really distrusting of utilities with government, especially in light of the Flint incident. So this is, you know, a large magnitude issue that I think is appropriate to bring to the state level. And as a healthcare professional, I can tell you that we were taught in physiology in school that if you can smell it, it's in your blood. And so we have a lot of people that are logistically in real time getting sick, and we need to make sure that we prevent this health and safety hazard. And I appreciate your strong efforts. I would only suggest that if we could, that Dogger, that's going to be doing a lot of intervention here, I would hope that they will have some type of an app that will allow the residents to keep track of the progress and giving them some timetables of when possibly they can get it. You talked about the middle of February, late February, but you were optimistic in saying that hopefully it will be done before then. Godspeed. We hope you get it done before, but we want to give these people the assurances that when they move back into their homes, that they're going to be living in a safe environment, their property values are going to get back to place, their kids are going to be back into school, and they can feel comfortable that they're living in a safe environment.
And we agree with you. We want to make sure we give the residents that comfort so they can move back in their homes, that we've done all we can. First, basically stopping the leak. Second, making the facility as safe as possible.
All right. Senator Waso, Chair of the Energy Committee.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And as the Chair of the Energy Committee, I thought I'd weigh in because we have done a lot of work in the past year working with the PUC to begin a process to get the PUC to be more active in enforcing all the facilities that provide energy to our state.
First of all, I want to congratulate you for bringing this to the legislature. I think it's important for the legislature to weigh in on the executive order issued by the governor and to either improve it or confirm that it's the right approach for our community. And I applaud you for being as responsive as you have been to this issue in your district. So it's important that we do that as a legislature too. So we're here to do a job, and that is to ensure the safety of our community and to hold people accountable when those safety measures fail. But last year, we started holding hearings to respond to some failures in the delivery of energy in the state. One of the hearings was on the ExxonMobil explosion. We had a hearing in the community on that matter to bring the executive to the table and say, what are you doing about this? How are you going to correct this? And what failed in that process that accounted for that? I believe it's going to be important that beyond this measure, that we investigate a little bit more as a legislature. Mm-hmm. I know Dogger's going to be out there, PUC is going to be out there, but the legislature has a responsibility to shine a light on this measure. I'm open to working with you to having an oversight hearing on this measure to talk about what failed, how was this possible, how is it possible that we have facilities that were built in 1954 or facilities that we have knowledge of currently that do not conform with current standards that are in operation, that have not been investigated. We need to ask that question. And going forward, as we approve new facilities, we have to have a good understanding of the quality of these facilities and the longevity of these facilities in the process of delivering service to our constituents, so that can be added to an inventory so that we know that the PUC is equipped to regulate these facilities, that we don't have facilities breaking down across the state because we don't know the longevity of this technology. We got to know that going forward. And it's hard in a year's time to really assess all the inventory of resources that we have in the state. Although we're currently working on it, we need the help of all the businesses that are out there that are partners in delivering energy to our state to help us with that process. You know, I have questions about this. This might not be the current forum because we want to bring people to this table that have answers.
Right.
And I know currently it's early in this process. We don't have that. But there are some questions that I have. Why did it take weeks for Southern California Edison to make this leak public? Why was there a leakage over an extended period of time that wasn't really offered up to the public and helped us as the regulators to go out, reach out to the community, help an evacuation process if that was necessary, at least begin to evaluate.
Yes. Some of those additional questions, and I agree with everything in oversight hearings. I look forward to working with you. Some of those additional questions and other package of these bills relate to those protocols in a place and the role of agencies and having a lead agency like OES and all questions that the residents and all of us have had that are hopefully being addressed in a package of bills.
And I expect that that's going to happen, and I know you're going to be on top of this every step of the way. But I want to partner with you in this, and if we have to have those oversight hearings and bring the PUC to the table and the companies to come in and start to, you know, we want to hold people accountable. We don't want to just necessarily beat up on people to beat up on them. We want to come up with solutions on a going forward basis. But so this doesn't repeat
that's
again.
That's our job.
We understand that there's a certain human element and there's a certain technology element that will make these situations just a natural effect of earth movement and whatever. But we got to know that, and I think we do know that. We have enough science on our side to carefully evaluate these measures, and I think we should utilize it as much as we can. So I'm going to support this today without a doubt. But I wanted to express my willingness to work with you and to conduct that oversight hearing at a time that you'd like to work with me on it when we have those answers. Thank you.
Let's do that.
Motion on the floor.
Thank you very much. Close. Yes, please close.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. It's been a robust discussion, excellent questions. Many of them will be answered in further hearings for different bills as we seek to have a comprehensive solution to this problem. we're here today meeting off the floor because this is by any measure an emergency, and it requires urgent action. It requires suspending of rules so that we can fast track this and make sure that, number one, the public is safe. And certainly we want to make sure that going forward they're safe. And I would just be remiss if I didn't commend Southern California Gas for all of their lapses, for also having enough safety measures in place that there have been no fatalities, and that even as running unchecked, they're running a pretty safe operation. That doesn't address the impacts of the thousands of families that are impacted. And so we want to make sure we have solutions in place going forward so that to the best of our ability, we keep such an emergency as this from happening again. Having said that, to the point of Senator Jackson, I think was one that raised the issue about reliability. That is specifically one of the things addressed in the bill, because public safety is very important, but along with public safety are the generators that run a natural gas, it's the heating, it's the all the things that rely upon a diverse form of energy. And in this particular case, it's specifically written in, my numbers line up differently from Senator Hertzberg's, but I've got on the third page, line 27, the commission shall determine the feasibility of minimizing or eliminating use of the Aliso Canyon Natural Gas Storage Facility located in the County of Los Angeles while still maintaining energy reliability for the region. So we have to have energy reliability. We have to have public safety. We're trying to find that sweet spot of how it all comes together. I thank you for your attention, your questions, and ask for your aye vote.
Thank you very much. The motion is do pass to appropriation. Motion by Senator Hertzberg. Call the roll.
Senators Pavley.
Aye.
Pavley, aye. Stone.
Aye.
Stone, aye. Allen.
Aye.
Allen, aye. Hertzberg.
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Hueso.
Aye.
Hueso, aye. Jackson.
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Vidak.
Aye.
Vidak, aye. Wolk.
Aye.
Wolk, aye.
And the Appropriations Committee will be hearing in this room.
That's all we can do. God bless America.
Thank you, Jeff.
Good job.
The Senate Natural Resources and Water Committee is adjourned.